God's not the God of the dead, but of the living, which means they still live on. And so if you understand the scriptures, you will not disbelieve in the life past this one. You won't disbelieve in the resurrection. You won't disbelieve in your own spirit. You won't disbelieve in the angels, which so predominate the Old Testament story. They didn't understand their own scriptures, but neither did they understand the power of God. Now, this question was asked Jesus for the purpose of tripping him up and snaring him in his words. I'm not sure that's always the case with those who pose seemingly unanswerable hypotheticals. But the same answer Christ gives here answers so many of those. As you know, when you talk to somebody that disagrees with you, disagrees with the scriptures concerning some basic Bible fundamental truths, oftentimes they like to create a scenario, a situation, a hypothetical picture, which presents you at odds, the Bible at odds, with what seems to be practical reality. And so the idea is, the Bible can't be right. Your view of religion cannot be true. The God of heaven cannot really have control because I've just asked a question that can't be answered. For example, when you say, well, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1. Later the psalmist will say, he spoke and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. And of course, that's the way the story continues in Genesis 1. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And from that point forward, God speaks, it happens. And so, the question comes, well, we've proven in science that you can't create something from nothing. And so how did God create something from nothing? It's impossible. Of course, the Bible says clearly that he did. That he spoke, and things that were not then were. And Jesus might say to that kind of question, you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures, which speak so clearly of that, but also not understanding the power of God. It's interesting, those who ask a question like that about how God could create the world by speaking into existence when you can't create something out of nothing, they themselves have their own unanswerable question, except without God. When you think about things just practically and even scientifically, all we have in the universe had to come from something or from nothing. And if it came from something, the question is, where did that something come from? And if you allow yourself to follow the logic to its conclusion, you're still left with the question at the end, where did that something come from? And either something has always been in existence, which means that matter is eternal, which I can't find anybody encouraging anybody to believe, then that something must have come from, at some point, nothing. Again, I'm not talking about God right now. I'm just talking about things as we see them. Philosophically, where did matter and over time life come from? It had to come from nothing at some point. And I've mentioned this before, but I can't get to this point on an idea like this without bringing up what I heard years ago, which speaks so much to the standpoint of perspective from those who believe in an organic, anti-God, atheistic version of the Big Bang. This fairly well-known scientist was discussing the events of the Big Bang and answering questions. The question came, where did the substance come from that banged? When you had the Big Bang, where did the stuff inside that exploded, where did it start? Where did it come from? And his answer was, by asking the question, you obviously don't understand the concepts I'm talking about? Which didn't answer the question. Put off the questioner as an ignoramus, but really revealed the lack of true thinking and logic in the argument itself. Something has to either come from nothing, or something has to always have been. Well, the Bible gives an elegant answer. In the beginning, God. And make fun of him if you will, and make fun of the concept of God if you will, but the fact remains, the Bible's answer is the most elegant and simple. God has always been, and God said, let there be, and there was. And those who have a problem with that, they don't just misunderstand the scriptures, they misunderstand the very power of God himself. A God who is described in scripture and seen practically as being omnipotent, all-powerful, nothing beyond his control in terms of the physical universe to alter, control, to create by the mere sheer force of his own voice. Later in John chapter 1, the writer will say of Christ, at that time the incarnate Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1 says this creation concerns things visible and invisible. But there are many today who are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Well, from here I take you, that's the very beginning of the Bible. Let's go to the very end of the Bible. Revelation, which talks to us about the beauty of heaven, the wonders, the life beyond this one, a place where there is no death, a place where there are no tears, a place where there is no pain. The former things are said to have been taken away. Revelation chapter 21. A place where God resides and we reside in eternity with him. And the question comes from some, how is it possible for the Bible to say there are no tears in heaven? We sing a song, no tears in heaven. How is it possible to have no tears in heaven when you're there and you remember all your loved ones who aren't with you? And so how could it be possible to have no tears, no sorrow, when you remember all those who aren't with you love so dearly? Well, for one thing, those who pose that hypothetical, they are mistaken not knowing the scriptures, because the scriptures very clearly say that. But more importantly, they don't recognize the power of God. And this idea of power describes not just his omnipotent nature, but the very substance of God and the Godhead. It's amazing how we think only in terms of flesh and blood and times and calendars and things we can see. Of course, that's all we have right now, practically and physically. But didn't Paul say in the last of 2 Corinthians 4 that we look at things which are not seen? He says the things that are seen are temporal, temporary. The things not seen are eternal. It is true that these things that are unseen are the real reality. And God has power that we can't understand or even come to grasp, because we're so bound and shrouded by flesh right now that we can't imagine anything different. That was kind of like the question these Sadducees were asking Christ in the text we just read. They couldn't see anything beyond this life as not being like everything in this life. And that's the point Christ makes to them. The existence we have when this life is over won't be the same as the existence we have right now. And when he says we'll be like the angels, he doesn't mean that we'll be angels, but like the angels in the sense that just as they are not bound by time or space, as we are in this flesh, in this body, we won't be bound by time or space. It's in a completely different place, dimension, sphere. You pick your word, but it's a different idea, completely a different construct, completely, than we accept in this world and enjoy every day. And so there's no aging in heaven. Well, why? How could you not have aging? Because you're not here anymore. There won't be any sickness anymore. How can you live a life without sickness? Because you won't be here anymore. You won't have sorrow anymore. Why? Because you're not here anymore. Those things that are contained to life and flesh and a calendar, they are no more. Along with, and believe me, I don't completely understand this, but I accept it as true because Christ said it, the bond of marriage itself is no longer, not just valid, but it has nothing to do with the life past this one. There is no marriage nor giving in marriage in the life past this one. And again, some say, how can that possibly be? Makes no sense to me. And there's the problem. It doesn't have to make sense to us because we are looking only from the vantage point of right here and this flesh, and that's all we can see. Now, how would you explain the constellations to a fish at the bottom of the ocean? Try as you might and do the best you can, that fish would never, if he had a mind to understand you, would never grasp the concept because his whole existence was wrapped up in what was around him. Now we know, all of us know, there's life beyond the ocean. There's a world above the surface of the waves, and there's a world beyond this planet and up beyond the atmosphere. We know that, we see that, but that fish wouldn't know that. Well, in a much more sublime sense, we, bound by this life and this space and this time of this existence, we only see what we can see. And it's dangerous when we only accept as true those things we can see, when there's ample evidence for things we can't see. And as far as we're able to reason and rationalize and use our minds and correspond all of that with Scripture and make sense of that, that's well and good. But when we reach a point, and we do in so many areas, on so many subjects, when we reach a brick wall and say, I just cannot understand that, it makes no sense to me, we have to listen to Jesus' words. You're mistaken, not knowing the power of God. Not knowing the nature of the divine. Not knowing the realm of the spiritual as different than, completely different than the physical. You're mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. I say this morning just because in so many ways we find ourselves trapped by our own minds, asking seemingly unanswerable questions either to ourselves or to others or getting the questions from others. And we sometimes have our faith questioned by the fact we don't have a definite answer. Many of these hypotheticals, how could that be? How will that work? How will that look? What will the spiritual body be like? And as best we can, we use the Bible to help us answer questions like that. But as Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Those things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And the reason why there are some secret things? Because just as dense and out of the loop as that fish at the bottom of the ocean might be concerning the universe above him, even more so are we. And you say, I could never get that fish to understand me. If God tried to explain some things to us, we'd be in worse shape compared to Him than the fish would be to us. And so at times when we reach the limit of what we can grasp or understand or make sense of, we have to say, I need to understand the power of God. And that'll settle it. My friend, this morning, if you're not a Christian, please become one. Please, by God's grace and God's way, obey the gospel by believing in Christ as God's Son, turning from sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized as Christ commanded. Or, if as a Christian you've walked away and need to come back, if so, come this morning and make things right if you come as we stand and sing.